watch that every so often on Thursday nights. And what they do on that show is they look at different issues that married people have, and they have celebrities who give advice or kind of weigh in, kind of who's right and who's wrong. They always look for a winner. We're not necessarily looking for winners here, but we're looking to have God speak into our relationships with different people. And 2 weeks ago, we talked about our relationship with friends. And Regina shared with us and talked to us about, and what was the key word that you remember Regina used? What are we to do to our friends? We're to what? Do you remember what she said? Anybody? Love. That's right. She used another word too. Anybody? Respect. Good. Build up. That's the word I remember. We are to build one another up. Right? Last week we talked about marriage, our relationship with our spouse. What are some key words that you remember God's will for that relationship? Submit. Okay. Yield. Anybody else? Sacrifice. Okay. Good. Today, we're going to look at a relationship that all of us can relate to. It's a relationship between parents and children. How about that? Once again, we have another great video that we're going to watch. And we also have another great expert panel that's going to be coming forward. And our first expert for the morning is none other than Jared Gramza. So please welcome him as he comes forward. Our second expert is Sherry Russell. Sherry, where are you? All right, Sherry. And our third expert is Mark Apotheker. Mark, are you still out there? You are. Sweet. Okay. So, Steve, I don't know if you're out there, if you could get the lights again. And we're going to direct our attention to the screen. Watch this little skit, and then we're going to have the panel make some observations and comments on it. Okay.
Well, I've known Mom my whole life. She's always been there for me when I've needed her, but lately she's still been around to offer her help.
My son Al is such a catch. See his sense of humor. He's always been very respectful, too. A loving boy. Even when he was little, he used to tag along behind me, helping me to cook and clean and sew.
So, when have I ever sewn anything?
He'd be a perfect gentleman for any young lady to have court.
Court? What does that even mean?
He's had other young ladies come and go, but he always seems to find something.
Mom, I thought this was going to be about our relationship.
Hmm? What's wrong with our relationship?
Hi, Mom. It went okay, I guess.
Okay? What do you mean, okay? Isn't she the one?
What?
You didn't talk about Star Wars, did you?
No, I don't know. Maybe a little bit, I guess.
Oh, Al, am I going to have to find you another girl? And what are you doing home so early?
I came to feed the dog.
Al!
Hey, Buck listens to anything I say and loves me no matter what. I have a dog. Why do I need a wife?
At this rate, I'm going to have to reactivate your eHarmony account.
eHarmony? Is that where I've been getting all those strange emails from? I don't need that. What are you doing?
Being a good mother. If you can't seem to start real life in a timely fashion, then I'm going to have to give you a little push now and then.
What's the big rush? I still have lots of real life to live. I'm 24 years old.
You're 24 years old. You don't have time to be fooling around. When are you going to settle down?
I need to settle down?
Yes. Well, I'll even let you help. Now pick a number between 1 and 32.
Whoa!
All right, panel. What do you think of that, Mom? What do you think, Jared? Does your mom treat you like that?
Never.
Huh?
Never at all.
Never at all? No? Okay.
Seriously, I think she should be a little more calm and stop trying to make her son do things. I think the son should be able to choose what he can do.
Really? Okay. All right. What do you think of that, Mom Sherry? Can you relate? Identify? Yes? No?
No.
No?
I had to wait 10 years to get my first grandchild, so okay. I was a very patient waiter. And I've learned that the biggest thing that you have to do is trust God, that when your children become adult children, at that point it's up to God to lead their lives and that you need to let go and let them proceed.
Okay. What do you think of that, Mom, Mark?
Slightly overbearing.
Slightly overbearing?
Yeah, just slightly.
Slightly? Okay.
I would have to agree with Jared. I think he's a wise child. I think we have a future career for him as a marriage mentor or something like that.
Excellent.
Anyway, yeah, I think space is important, and yeah, I guess that's about all I have to say.
Anything else that you saw in the video that you'd like to comment on one way or the other? Jared? If you could give any advice, any more advice, what would you give? Oh, yeah, there we go.
For the son to actually find a wife, and that's 24, I think that's a little too old. He should have been... he should at least rent a condo and the mother she's just trying to take over his life, so that's why I think he should get a condo so he can have his own little man cave.
Okay.
I agree that he has some excellent advice to give, and I think that they do need to separate the household. And that he does need to be out on his own. But I disagree with him about the 24. I'm grateful now that kids take a lot longer to get married. At my age, 17 was considered okay to be married. And I'm grateful that kids are going out and getting educations, living their lives, and turning into the person that God wants them to be before they choose their wife.
Okay.
Yeah, I would think 28 is about a good age to get married myself.
28, all right.
But I think also the son needs to be a little more assertive with his mom and kind of push her off a little bit. Assertiveness, I think, is an important thing in a parent-child relationship, either way.
Either way? All right. Great. Hey, everyone, let's thank our panel. All right. Thanks so much. Parents and kids, right? Kids and parents. How about that? So let's start with a few quotes about parenthood, about sharing children. Found a few of these I thought were, here we go. How about this from Bruce Lansky? Parenthood is a lot easier to get into than out of. How about this from Edgar Howe? There were no schools to take the children away from home part of the time, the insane asylums would be filled with mothers. Any mothers relate? Identify? Yeah, man. How about this Japanese proverb? When you have children yourself, you begin to understand what you owe your parents. How about that? A little more serious there. And then this from P.J. O'Rourke. Everybody knows how to raise children, except the people who have them. How about that? Turn with me your Bibles to Ephesians 6. In Ephesians 6, Paul begins this section by addressing and talking to children. So, how many children do we have out there? Raise your hand if you're a child. All your hands should be up. Yep, come on. I know it's probably about 11 now, but let's go. Right, we're all children, so he's talking to all of us, whether we're 75 or 6 months. Okay? Here's what he says. He says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on earth. It says, children, two things, obey and honor your parents. Obey. Listen attentively. Heed. Hearken. Then my favorite with definitions is when they use the word that they're defining in the definition, right? Be obedient to. Honor. Value. Value your parents. Revere them. He says, why? Why are we to obey? Why are we to honor them? He says, for this is right. It's the right thing to do. It's the correct thing to do. It's the just thing to do. It's what kids are supposed to do. It's what children are supposed to do with their parents. They're to obey and to honor them. And because of the promise, Paul says, that's associated with it. The promise that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life. Paul is quoting here Deuteronomy 5, verse 16. And the context of that verse is the Israelites are on the other side of the Jordan River. They can see the promised land. They're camped there. But before they go in, the Lord reminds them of His will for them once they get there. He reminds them that He is their God, that He has brought them this far. But also, when you get there, don't forget me. He reminds them of how it is they are to live once they get into that promised land. He says, if things are to go well there once you get there, and if you're going to enjoy the life in the promised land, then you're going to need to honor and obey your parents. Parents, right? How do things go when kids don't honor or obey you? What does that do for gender harmony in the family system? Kids, children, right? How does it go with our relationship with mom and dad when we choose to dishonor, when we choose to do our own thing and not obey them? How's the health of that relationship? What does it do to the dinner table, if we can make it there? If we want it to go well, honor needs to be present. Obedience needs to be present. How many of you have seen the movie Facing the Giants? Anybody seen that movie? Yeah? Anybody? Henry John was home from school this Thursday. He got the flu. So I got to stay home with him and kind of take care of him. And he wanted to watch Facing the Giants. So I'm watching this movie. And all of a sudden, there's this scene in that movie. And if you know anything about the movie, it's a small private school. And there's a football coach there. Things happen in his life. And he's pouring his heart and soul into this football team. And there's another father who's been praying for these students who are there. And then about halfway through the movie, all of a sudden revival starts to happen amongst the high school students. The students start becoming spiritually aware. They start confessing their sins. Their eyes and their hearts are open to the things that they've been doing wrong, where they're not honoring God, and where they're disobeying their parents. And this one son comes to his coach and he says, you got to take me to see my dad. He goes, okay. So he leaves school and takes him. And the scene shows his dad's in a meeting. The secretary buzzes in. Says, hey, your son's here to see you. And he's like, things have not been going well, obviously, between the father and the son. Then the son comes in. He's like, son, what do you want? And he confesses to him, he says, Dad, I'm sorry. I've been dishonoring you. I've been not obeying you. I've been lipping off to you. And from now on, he says, that stops. From now on, I honor you. What do you think the father did when his son came in? And then the son just walked out. He said that, and then he walked right out. So there's the dad sitting behind the desk. How do you think the father reacted to such a statement? What do you think happens to the health of that relationship? I'm sorry for the way I've been acting and treating you. From now on, I will listen and I will obey. And I will respect your authority, he says. In order for our relationships between our parents to be healthy ones, Paul reminds us, we who are children, that we need to obey and that we need to honor. If we choose to ignore, if we choose to disobey, if we choose to dishonor, strife, it's going to happen. We who are children, are we obeying? Are we honoring our parents? But Paul doesn't just talk to children. He also talks to parents. How many of us here this morning are parents? Yeah? All right. Quite a few hands still. All right. Paul also has a word for us. Right? Maybe some of us parents have been elbowing our kids. They're sitting next to us. Hey, listen. Listen to what he's saying, right? Honor. Obey. Okay, kids. Elbow mom and dad back now. All right? Listen to what Paul says to us. He says, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Every so often, Pastor Amy reminds Pastor Henry of Ephesians 6, verse 4. Henry, she says, don't exasperate Megan. Henry, she says, don't exasperate Henry John. What does it mean to exasperate? Are you familiar with this word? Don't provoke to anger. Don't enrage. Don't provoke your children to wrath. How about that video? What do you think Al's exasperation level was at? Code red, orange, yellow, green? What do you think? Was that mom exasperating or was she helping? Yeah. Paul says, don't exasperate them. He says, instead, bring them up in the training of the Lord. Bring them up with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. How the message says is, take them by the hand and lead them in the way of the Master. Do this instead, he says. Parents, did you catch what Paul says here? We're not commanded to teach them to do whatever it is that we want or to fulfill our desires, right? To do the things that we want them to do. No, we are to teach them and to bring them up in the training of the Lord. We're to teach them what God's desire for them, what God's will is for them. We are to take them by the hand and not lead them along our own way, but to lead them in the way of the Master. Would you agree that those could be two different things? Sometimes they could be the same thing, but taking us in our own way or in the way of the Master. We are to take them by the hand and lead them in the way of the Master. Do you know what that looks like? Do you know that way? Paul says, go this way. Would you recognize it? Would you be able to go that way if you saw it? What does it look like to bring up a child with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord? If we are to bring up our children in the way and the instruction of the Lord, we as parents, we need to be familiar with that way. We need to be familiar with what God's will is for our lives. How many of you are holding a Bible? Hold it above your head. Right? What is that way? This is the way. Right? We need to be familiar with this. That's what Paul says. Don't exasperate them, but lead them. Take them by the hand and lead them that way. So for to do that, we need to know what is it that that says? He says, children, honor and obey. He says, parents, be honorable. Right? Be worthy to be obeyed. If we want to be honored by our children, if we want to be obeyed by them, we need to be bringing them up in an honorable way. I love this quote from Josh Billings. He says, to bring up a child in the way that he should go, travel that way yourself once in a while. Right? How about that? Right? Two sides of the relationship. Right? Children need to honor. Parents need to be honorable. Children, obey. Parents, is this worthy to be obeyed? Is what I'm calling them to do and to be? Can they see it? Can they see us walking down that way? Can they see in our lives that Jesus is our Savior? That we are following Him. That we are dying to ourselves and rising with Him. Can they see it? Parents, we have choices. We have choices about how we are to raise our children. If you don't have your own children, right? Talked about the village, you have neighborhood kids. You have choices how you're going to interact with them. You have nephews and you have nieces. You have choices about how you're going to train them and lead them. We can exasperate them. We can come down hard on them with our hands and with our mouths. And so often, boy, they make it so easy, don't they? Man. Or we can take them by the hand and lead them and to end, I just want to compare those two postures for a moment. So I was reflecting on this week, there's two different postures, two different images. The image of a hand coming down hard and a hand that leads. Look at those two pictures a minute. Can you see a difference? Do we know the difference? Have you experienced the difference? Right? I'm sure we have. Right? Well, it's mom and dad, or a teacher at school, or a neighbor down the street? Somebody in the supermarket, Meyer, right? Which posture will children honor and obey more? Which posture will you honor and obey? Most importantly, which posture does God use on us, His children? What posture does God use on us? He is our Father. He is our Father. Our concepts and our beliefs, right? what we believe about our Father in heaven impacts how we deal with our kids around us. What do you believe God's doing? Right? Do you believe God's doing this? Right? We know the posture. Right? Or this. I end with this poem by Diane. If I had my child to raise all over again, I'd build self-esteem first and the house later. I'd finger paint more and point the finger less. I would do less correcting and more connecting. I'd take my eyes off my watch and watch with my eyes. I'd take more hikes and fly more kites. I'd stop playing serious and seriously play. I would run through more fields and gaze at more stars. I'd do more hugging and less tugging. Would you pray with me?